Well, good morning, everyone. Glad to see you all here and to be here. I'm excited to be here, happy, a little bit nervous, but mostly just thankful that I have this opportunity, and also want to say thank you to everyone who has prayed for me this week. It actually makes a huge difference. And it's a win-win scenario, because if you pray for me, then the teaching is going to be better, because it really doesn't depend on me all that much. So we'll wait for the slideshow here to come up. Awesome. As you can see, this morning we'll be talking about spiritual gifts. And if you'd like, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 12. That's where I'll be speaking from this morning. So just a few things about, I wanted to say just kind of why I chose this topic. I was thinking about several different ones, and this is the one that didn't leave my mind. And I had a lot of questions about this one, a lot of things that kind of crossed my mind and made me curious about this topic. So I feel a little bit passionate about this morning, and yeah, I feel led to it. So this is what we're going to be talking about, and we'll just see here. I got a clicker. We'll see if this works. Nice. Before we read anything, I'm going to explain to you what spiritual gifts are by explaining what they're not. And I have this chart that has comparisons between the two. And so, yeah, we have gifts and talents. And the differences here, so the source, where they come from. A talent is something that comes from the God of creation, the person who created you, who is the same person that gives the gifts, but it's the third person of the Trinity, and that is the Holy Spirit. The time when they come is different. Talents are generally something that you're born with, or you learn and you grow and you develop over your early life. And a spiritual gift is something that you are given at birth as well, but it's a different birth, and that's the second birth when you accept Jesus into your life. And then the nature of it, talents are natural and gifts are spiritual or supernatural, and the purpose of these is also different. A talent is, well, God's intent for a talent is to instruct other people. You can inspire other people, or you can make your living off of something that you're talented at. But spiritual gifts are, as we'll see, for the sole purpose of edifying the saints and the believers in the church, and as well spreading the gospel and glorifying God. So, now we will read this passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to start at, actually, here, yeah. Verse 4 to 11, and then we're going to read verse 28 as well. So feel free to follow along. 12, verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of this Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And then jump down to verse 28, please. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, and then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, and varieties of tongues. That's what we'll be reading this morning. And just a few things from this passage that I wanted to point out to hopefully give you a better idea of what gifts are. And that is, the first thing is that all of them are given from the same Spirit. I think he probably says it about 10 times in that passage as you were listening. So that's an important point. He makes special note of that it's not from different gods, and I was kind of wondering why did he say that so many times, or why did he say that at all? And I think it's because the early church of Corinth was a pagan city before there was revival there, and they would have been serving several gods, and that would have been a very common idea, is that this god does this, this god does this, I pray to God for this. But Paul is like, no, this is all coming from the same Holy Spirit. After that, manifestation or gifts are the proof that the Holy Spirit is actually living inside of us. It's one of the many things that proves this, but that's in verse 7. After that, it's there for the profit of all. Gifts aren't meant to be something that's hoarded for yourself or used for personal gain, something like that. Distributed specifically as the Spirit wants. And that's in verse 11, and I thought that was really, really neat. Uses the word individually. So God hasn't just kind of dumped all the Christians out and just randomly assigned us a gift. It says that he's given us each individually a gift, and it was according to his will. After that, so yeah, here we have the list of spiritual gifts. There's a whole bunch of them here. I'll just put them up and then read them through. So ministry, evangelism, teaching, which pastoring, exhortation, or we sometimes call that encouragement, giving or generosity, administration, which is leadership, being merciful, helping, supporting others, healing, words of wisdom, faith, discernment, and then there's a few other ones here as well. So, and this is a little bit of a touchy topic between some Christians, which I think is a little bit funny, but there's a verse in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, and I'll just read that. It says, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. So there's these three gifts here that it lists as passing away. And to be honest, I'm not quite sure what it means as well. But I listened to a podcast recently, and the person there said, we need to read the Bible as if we're like going to it with our like a first. We haven't done any research before that. We're not going into it with any bias. And this is what it seems to say, that these are no longer around. Now, I don't believe that's like, oh, God can't do these things anymore. It's more, maybe he doesn't grant them to specific people to be able to have these powers anymore. Okay, so the purpose of spiritual gifts, there's a lot. I mentioned them briefly before in the chart. They're given by God for God, and they are for the building up of Christians, the church, that can be like the local church, and reaching others or expanding the kingdom of God. They're for unification of the body, and those verses that we skipped in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians here, they talk a lot about, gives that analogy of the body of Christ being a physical body with all the different parts, and it says things like, it would not work if the whole, like if everybody wanted to be an eye, if the whole body was an eye, that would not be a functional body. And so it says unification, we all need these different gifts, and that's why there's so many, because it needs to function properly. Glorification of God and not of ourselves. I was thinking about like fraudulent gifts and how you could use it for yourself, your personal gain. That is not the purpose, spiritual gifts. And they're to store up treasures in heaven. There's that verse in Matthew 6, which I'm sure we're all very familiar with. It says, this is the shortened version of it, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, for the rest of it, I would like to talk about some of the thoughts and the questions that I had that kind of led me to want to talk about spiritual gifts. So there's a lot of these things, and I think it really just drives it home for me, and it displays the research that I've done to be able to do this. Big question. How do I find out what my gift is? And I think the biggest one is to ask other people around you what they see in you. And that's part of how I've found my gifts is people being like, you know, I see that in you. I think you're good at that. And I think that might be part of the purpose God has for you. And so it's an encouragement to do that, to ask people, but also to tell people. If you see something in them, you can really encourage someone, especially a young person who's maybe confused about if they don't have a gift or if they just don't know what it is. And something I just thought of, I should have mentioned earlier, is that I've been using the singular form, which is probably not right. You can definitely have more than one spiritual gift, and God is not stingy with things like that, so it makes sense that he would be generous to give us more than one. Think and pray about it. That's a big one. Just like actually consider about what God may be trying to do in your life. And often I find that gifts would line up with something like that. Do some biblical research on spiritual gifts. I think even just looking at a list of them and reading through them sometimes maybe gets your mind rolling about like, oh, you know what, I think that makes sense. I might be able to do that. And then you maybe go back to the first one, ask other people if that makes sense to them, who know you well, of course. And then there's a lot of other alternative sources that you could go to as well, online, for sure. That's where I found some as well. My spiritual gift is obviously preaching, so that's why I'm here today. No, that's the title there. Should have given that away from you, given that away. It says, if this is my gift, I should be naturally good at it. And that's not the case at all, necessarily. And I'm here today speaking, but that doesn't have to be my spiritual gift. So many of you probably know this person, recognize this picture. That's a picture of Eric Liddell. And a quote from him there that says, when I run, I feel God's pleasure. And if you were really sharp, you'll notice that running was not in that list earlier that I showed you. But there's a point here that I wanted to make, and that is when you're using your spiritual gift, you're going to feel God's pleasure in your life. You're going to feel like, oh, you know what? I actually feel like this is what God really wants me to be doing. And so, yeah, I think that brings that out very well. If you don't know Eric Liddell, he was a really famous Olympian runner. I think he set a lot of records, and he's a very inspiring person as well. And then there's this picture. For those of you listening on the phone, it's a picture of three people standing beside a plane. And some of you, I'm sure, recognize this. This is Jim Elliot and a few other guys who I've forgotten their names. But the short version of the story that happened with them is they went to a remote tribe to share the gospel, and they ended up getting killed there for doing that. Later, their wives went back, and there was a lot of people there that were converted and saved. And it's a really inspiring story, but the heading that I have above that is that it says, you cannot determine obedience by the outcome. And when I read that, I was like, oh man, that's kind of tough, but that makes a lot of sense. Those guys, they went there and they were doing what God wanted them to do, but they didn't really get to see any of that here on this earth. So you can't determine obedience by the outcome. If God wants you to do something, it's not necessarily going to be easy, even if you're gifted at it. Next, I feel like people will ask the question, why did I get this gift? And there's, a lot of reasons why you can maybe ask that. The first one, I think, is envy. If you're envious of the accolades or like all the prestige that someone might get because of a gift that they have, probably most common with pastors or things like that who are really popular. But remember what I said earlier about the purpose for gifts, is that this is kind of the opposite purpose, is self-glorification. They're meant for edifying saints and encouraging other believers and bringing other people to Jesus. And then the other thing I was thinking about is maybe, church leaders. There's a verse in 1 Peter 5 there that says the elders are to be the servants of all, and that it's a good thing to desire being an elder, but it's like, hey, also realize that it's not about being a big flashy person who gets to come up on stage and everybody's eyes on them. That's not what it's about. They're called to be the servants of all before they're called to be anything else. You might also be envious of God's work in their life, and I've definitely felt that before. You think, wow, man, that person's just really on fire for the Lord right now, which is amazing, but sometimes it can be hard to be happy for them if you don't see that happening in your life. And I think there's a few things to say to that. God wants the same for you. What I was mentioning earlier about that thing in 1 Corinthians 12 that talks about the body and all the different parts of the body, it's so important that everyone does what God's called them to do and not the same thing that they think, wow, that looks really cool. The other thing I wanted to mention with this, there's a Christian, I guess you might call it a buzzword right now, and that is seasons. People talk about, oh, I'm going through a season or whatever like that, but there is a little bit of truth to that, and that is that God doesn't call us all to do crazy things all at once, and we're not meant to be living in a life of constant, I don't know, being on fire for the Lord. And just be encouraged that maybe now is not your time, but if it's not, God is definitely preparing you for something, and you can take encouragement in that. The second reason why you might ask this question is that you feel maybe useless for, whatever reason, like, why did God give me this gift? And I love this picture. It's a picture of, I'm pretty sure it's a pine tree. You could correct me later. But if you've ever been up north, you would have seen some of these, I'm sure. And these trees are just amazing because they'll grow in like just the cracks in the rock and send their roots down there to find water. And it's just, the caption above that I have is bloom where you're planted. Like, it might feel like you're useless, and I assure you that that's not the case. But be like this tree that is not planted by the water, like the Bible verse, but bloom where you're planted, and God has put you there for a specific reason. This next one, feel like that doesn't need a whole lot of explanation. It says, follow where God leads you, and there's a little map of Iowa there. We all know the Cranbranks, and they've been a super blessing to us. Well, they've been here. They're moved to Iowa now, and that's where God has them. So maybe the reason you're feeling useless is because God is trying to push you a little bit, hopefully not out of the country, but at least out of your comfort zone, to go do something that's for his glory with your gift. Another maybe common misconception is this one. Once I know my gift, I won't have to do any of the others. And I hope you realize that that's not true. Christians are not single-purpose beings. If that were the case, once we became Christians, we would turn into sort of, I guess you could say, maybe robots on God's assembly line to make other Christians. We're not at all like that. We are not single-purpose beings. So God's gift for you does not override what he said in the Bible. And I have a whole bunch of things here that he has said in the Bible. So 1 Peter 4, verse 9 says, show hospitality. That's one of the gifts. 1 Thessalonians, encourage one another. That's one of the gifts. This is a big one. Mark 16, preach the gospel to all creation. And that applies to everyone. In Acts, it says it's better to give than to receive. Generosity or giving is a spiritual gift, but we are all called to do that. And in Luke, it says be merciful just as your Father is also merciful. There wasn't enough room on the slide to put more than this, but there's more than this. We're all called to do all of those spiritual gifts on some level, but it may not be God's kind of purpose for you in life to do that. But like I said, you can't override what God says in the Bible by saying, I don't feel called to that, so I'm going to run the other direction. That's kind of what Jonah did. Is is my gift my destiny? I feel like this is, like, destiny is, like, a big word people like to talk about nowadays. Like, is my gift my destiny? And I would say no to that. As Christians, our destiny is in heaven with God. I'd like to make that clear. And what we do here on this earth is not going to change that statement right there. So that feels a lot more like a destiny to me. And there's a lot of places in the Bible where it says that, that verse that says, this world is not my home. Next one. I think my clicker's run out of clicks. There we go. Our gifts are tools to edify the body. It's one of the things that is just a tool. It's not what defines us. It's not, we shouldn't be, defining people by their gifts. They're just tools to edify the body of Christ and to hopefully lead other people to Christ and to encourage other people. Without love, our gifts are just noise. That's in 1 Corinthians 13. I'll read those three verses. It's 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 to 3. Says this, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and through all faith, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So I put that little picture on there. You just know that that kid is not actually playing the drums. He's just making noise. And that's kind of what our gifts would be like if we didn't love other people. Like, imagine trying to encourage someone and they knew that they didn't love you. I don't think that would work no matter what you said. So, and it would just feel obnoxious to you. So, about to wrap up here. I see that I haven't used up quite all the time, but that's okay. I'll just say a few thoughts in closing. Seek out your gifts. I think it is really important. This is something that I feel is important in my life and challenging, especially being in school. It's like, oh man, like I'm so busy. Like what can I be doing right now, God? And it's encouraging to be like what I said earlier about like, you know what? Yeah, school is just a season. There's a set amount of time and I'll be done. And that's not to say life gets easier after that, but hopefully I have a little bit more time. And that's the case for you, like whatever you're in. God is working in your life. He has a purpose for you. And it would be really neat if your gift was able to be a part of that. And it's just super encouraging to, like, once you find that and find, like, what I said before about the Eric Liddell thing. He says, I feel God's pleasure when I run. And I just, I hope that each person here can find their gift, because you are promised one as a Christian. If you're a Christian and the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you have one or multiple. And that's really cool. Ask God for opportunities to use it. And you can pray this without knowing what your spiritual gift is. That could even be part of what helps you find out what it is. Just pray, you know, God, like, maybe you're feeling useless. I feel useless right now. Just give me something to do. And I'll tell you a little story. A couple months ago, I prayed that prayer. And the same weekend after that, I was asked to speak here today. So God does answer prayers like that, and it's sometimes in scary ways. Like, this is maybe a little bit scary for me, but you'd be crazy to say no after something like that happens. Pray for opportunities to use it. Praying does work. I'm sure you all know this. Yeah, and last, I'll just emphasize this again. Be fulfilled in uniting believers and glorifying God. That's what the gifts are for. I just encourage you to do that. And just, you know, if you're, maybe someone even comes to mind right now, like, you know what, I think this person might have that gift, go mention it to them. It's like that could be a big deal to them. That could be something that pushes them to be like, you know what, maybe they could start praying about it, and that could be a life-changing thing for them. And that took almost zero effort for you. So I encourage you to do that if you do, and pray about it. And then, yeah, I put this slide here again at the end just because I think it's helpful to look at the gifts and see what they are. Another thing I should have mentioned is that this is not an extensive list. It's based on the passage that we read today and also those three other ones. That's Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. They all talk about spiritual gifts. And collectively, this is the list that you get when you add them all up. But like I said, God is not restricted in any way. There could be many other gifts that he could give you to do that. So why don't we end in prayer? I'd like to pray, and then our meeting will be over here. Dear God, thank you for this opportunity to come this morning and hopefully just be blessed. And God, I know there's a lot of people in this room who have the Holy Spirit living inside of them, and you've given them a gift, maybe more than one. And God, if they don't know what it is, I just pray that you would help them find it. I pray that you would instill a desire in them that feels like this is important, and it is. And God, I pray that you would show them what it is, and that they would feel your pleasure when they find that and when they act in it. And God, maybe someone's feeling useless because they feel like, you know, there's not a spot for me here to use my gift. God, I pray that you would show them a really neat opportunity to do that. And I know what it feels like to be like that. So God, I just pray that you would encourage that person, or use someone who has the gift of encouragement to go encourage that person today. So God, we pray your blessing over the rest of our day here together. And we're just super thankful for the fact that your Holy Spirit does actually live inside of us, and he does help us, and he is a comforter. And thank you that you are a good, good Father who knows how to give good gifts to his children. We pray this all in your name, God. Amen.